This is a CBC podcast. Real events, the stories behind them. That Story features CBC correspondents as you've never heard them before. Adrian Arsenault, David Common, and Nahla Ayed share personal stories from covering major news events. From the earthquake in Haiti to the Olympic Games, Backstory takes you there. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Hello, I'm Laura Lynch, sitting in for Anna Maria Tremonti, and you're listening to The Current. Grab your sunglasses, it's time to hit the road. Johnny Cash makes the life of a truck driver sound enticing in the song I've Been Everywhere. But increasingly, the trucking industry is having a hard time attracting a new generation of drivers who want to hit the road. It's a looming problem since Canadians depend on trucks and truckers to move most of our goods across the country. Today, we take a look at the challenges of attracting a younger workforce to the trucking industry and explore what a decrease in drivers would mean for businesses across the country. David Bradley is Chief Executive Officer of the Canadian Trucking Alliance. His organization commissioned a study which revealed the trucking industry will be short as many as 48,000 drivers by 2024 unless the industry radically changes the way it recruits and retains new drivers. Mr. Bradley joins me now from Toronto. Hello.
Hello, Laura.
Mr. Bradley, what is going on in the industry that's setting the stage for this huge projected shortfall of drivers?
Well, we're facing a demographic tsunami. We have one of the oldest, if not the oldest, workforces in the country, and it's rapidly aging, more rapidly than other sectors of the economy. And we're just not attracting young people in the numbers that we need to fill that gap. So trucking will continue to grow as a sector. It'll outpace the growth of the other modes, but we need to have people driving the trucks in order to keep that going.
But what did your study reveal about what's happening with younger workers?
Well, what it tells us is that right now there's a real challenge in terms of making the industry attractive to them. Where the shortage is most acute is in what we would call the long-distance, irregular route type of operations. So these are the folks that tend to cross borders, both provincial and international, and spend a lot of time away from home. That sort of lifestyle challenge appears not to be as attractive as it once was, particularly to the millennials, and therefore we've got a real challenge in order to be able to balance the service requirements of our customers against the lifestyle requirements of today's workers to make this work. So companies are investing in technology to try to better track, better utilize our human resources, try to get people home more often than and the like, but it's still a big challenge.
How many days typically on those very long haul routes, how many days are truckers spending on the road?
Well, they can be away for a week to 2 weeks at a time, depending on the route.
And it's also, I gather, quite unpredictable.
Yes, these are our customers where, you know, the freight may come up on a certain day, may not be there again the next week. So they're really traveling around North America, wherever the goods are.
So is the problem more that you get younger truck drivers into the industry and then they leave, or you just can't get them to get into the industry at all?
Well, it's a combination of both. It's hard to attract them, period. But there is an issue in terms of some people getting their license, coming into the sector, and either not getting employment because the training they've got is substandard, or they find that the lifestyle isn't what they expected and they do leave.
So you mentioned some things that the industry is trying to do, but what else do you think needs to be done to bridge this gap that you think is going to just get bigger?
Well, a combination of things. Compensation, what drivers make and how they're paid is always going to be an issue. And since deregulation of our sector, which occurred in the late 1980s, which was designed to reduce freight rates, increase competition, it's certainly done that. Companies are now still operating at rates that they saw in the 1980s. And as a result, there's been very little real growth in truck driver wages. So that's something that has to be addressed. Now, being a truck driver is still a well-paying job. A long-distance driver can certainly make in a range around $70,000 a year. But again, they have to work really hard for that long hours and away from home. One of the other challenges that we have is that the occupation is not looked at or deemed to be a skilled occupation. If you look, for example, at the National Occupational Classification the federal government produces, and this is what they base training funding on, immigration, those sorts of things, truck driving is deemed to be unskilled. It's right in the same category as burger flippers. And no offense to burger flippers, but it does take a lot of skill to be able to safely and productively operate a truck these days. And that's simply not recognized. So what's happened as a result, the image of the occupation has suffered. It's become viewed in some circles as the job of last resort. If you can't do anything else, drive a truck. And young folks today who may be looking at the trades for the first time as opposed to a Bachelor of Arts degree, that sort of thing, they're looking again for a trade, and trucking doesn't currently qualify in that area. So we're pursuing working with governments across the country to try to introduce a mandatory entry-level training, which for us is the precursor to eventually having the occupation deemed to be at least at the semi-skilled level.
And are you in the lobbying effort for just to even have that label changed? Are you having much success? Are you hearing positive things from government?
Well, we certainly are in some areas of the country. For example, later this month, Ontario will announce, and it will be the first province to introduce mandatory entry-level training. We hope that others will follow. We're in discussions right now with the federal government in terms of looking at the National Occupational Classification. But unfortunately, it's how they change the occupation is dictated, it seems to us, more by Statistics Canada's data cycles than it is in terms of a tool for improving the labor force. So there's a lot of work to do. But at the end of the day, most of the effort will fall with the industry itself. It's the industry that has to go to the market and get the freight rates that it needs in order to be able to pay for its costs, to pay for its people. It's a very tough market, particularly right now. We're in a very slow growth environment. So, you know, there is excess capacity in the marketplace today, and that keeps a lid on rates. But until that changes, and the market will eventually work, it just moves slowly, and it doesn't always move in a straight line.
But what's at stake for us if we fail to attract new drivers in trucking?
Well, that's exactly the point. And what we want to avoid is a crisis situation where we simply don't have the people in the seats, because at that point, freight gets left on the dock and the market will adjust, but it could adjust quite radically at that point. You know, there's an old saying in the industry, if you got it, a truck brought it, and it's as true today as it was 20, 30 years ago.
Well, so what does it mean we don't get goods, or that the price of the goods goes up?
Well, it would mean both. If freight is left on the dock, it means goods don't get to market. And it also inevitably means that there will have to be an increase in salary. It's economics 101. If there's a shortage of something, prices go up. That is what will happen. And because such a component of the final cost of goods sold in Canada is a transportation component, that will ultimately mean that consumers will have to pay more.
All right, Mr. Bradley, we will leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
David Bradley is the CEO of the Canadian Trucking Alliance, and he was in Toronto. Well, gaining a diverse pool of truck drivers involves enticing more women to take the wheel. Right now, they compose only 3% of the truck drivers on the road. Shelley Juvenile Hesch has been driving a rig for 17 years and is currently employed at Sharp Transportation Systems. This spring, she set up the Women's Trucking Federation of Canada to create a network to support and promote women in the trucking industry. And she joins me from Baden, Ontario. Hello.
Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Fine, thank you. What do you think about this looming need for new drivers that's outlined in the study?
It's desperately needed. There's no doubt about that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things that need to change. Recognizing drivers as a professional skilled trade is the best place to start. We also need better training. And drivers feel generally that we also need graduated licensing. That these people are putting through the truck driving training schools way too quickly and thrown behind the wheel of a rig, and they really need more training than what they're receiving.
Okay, I want to talk to you more about those things, but first I want to talk to you about you. How did you get into the trucking business?
I'm the daughter of a truck driver, So I was bouncing around in trucks for years. So I've always had a love for the open road and a passion for the industry. I love it. And I just continued on.
It's been, you've been doing it for a long, long time. What's the best thing to you about being a driver?
It's the people and the places that I see. I have friends right across Canada and the U.S. I've been to many states, cities, the scenery, the history that you learn along the way.
Tell me more about that. What kinds of people do you meet?
I've met, well, besides drivers, I have some really good friends that are shippers, receivers, operations managers of where I deliver and I pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So you meet a wide range of people in your travels.
And so, but there must be a downside. What are the hard things about the trucking life?
You do give up. You lose a lot of home time. Sometimes you may miss a birthday. So those can be the harder aspects of it. Now, when I first started driving, I drove solo for quite a few years. And then my husband got his license, and we now drive team, which is a great benefit to us because we're together all the time.
Yeah, that makes it easier as long as you're getting along.
Yes, it works well for us. It doesn't work for everyone. It's a very small space. You start talking being out 2-3 weeks. Some teams are out 6 to 9 weeks. So, you know, you really need to get along with your partner.
Now, David Bradley mentioned that many truckers are reaching retirement age. And what are you seeing and hearing from fellow drivers as they get older?
As they're getting older, there's a lot of drivers that are hanging up their keys now, even though they're not ready to retire. And they're nowhere near retirement age. They are just tired of the job. They are tired of the politics. They feel that they're not recognized for what they do. They're not respected for what they do. And until the industry changes that image, and that has to start with the carriers, you're going to keep losing drivers.
But the industry, so now the industry is targeting women as a potential source of new drivers. What kind of interest do you get from women to become truckers?
Quite a few of them are interested. I talked to quite a few different ladies across Canada. But they all have the same problem. A lot of them, it is funding. A good reputable school is $8,000 or more in the province of Ontario. And a lot of these women are single moms. So trying to come up with the money to pay for the schooling is a big issue for them.
But you say they're single mothers. I would think that it might also be a problem for them spending that much time on the road.
There are other jobs in the industry. There's a lot of trucking jobs where they can drive city work. They can do regional work. And regional is generally, you might be gone 2-2.5 days.
So there's one challenge that you say can be met by doing local driving. Are there other particular challenges for women?
No. This is a very easy, well, it's not an easy job, but it's a job that either a man or a woman can do. Basically, I hear the same complaints from women that I do from men. It's the home time. You know, drivers would prefer to be out only 5 to 7 days. A lot of times they go and they interview at a carrier, and they're assured that they will be home, and then they're finding out that they're out 9 days, 10 days, 11 days. Then they get 36 hours at home, and they're expected to go back out on the road. To a driver, 36 hours at home is not long enough.
But how welcoming is the trucking industry for women and people of diverse backgrounds? Because you get the sense that these are it is overwhelmingly men who are involved in the trucking industry.
It has always been a boys' world, and it's slowly coming around. You're getting a lot more positive feedback from carriers that are really wanting to get women in, really want to know what they can do to change things to make it easier for a woman to come in. And they're being very accommodating in a lot of areas, but there's still room for a lot of improvement.
And what about people of different backgrounds, diverse backgrounds? Is that another area that could be tapped into? Is the industry welcoming that?
I think the industry is to a point. I think some of the problems that we have are language barriers and crossing border. The U.S. requires you have to be very fluent in English speaking. They're really starting to crack down on that. So I think in some cases, we need to promote more language classes for immigrants and for foreigners to better improve their English, to make the job easier for them as well as for us. Because when we as drivers bump into them out on the road, and we're having a hard time communicating with them. So when they're having a problem, sometimes we can't understand what they're trying to say.
So that's one answer. What do you think, though, might be the solution for getting more people interested in doing the work that you do?
We need to start at the public school level. We need to get back into going into schools, into classes, and creating a better public image, showing children what we do, letting them get in and feel what a rig is like, what our life is like. We need the media to start portraying us more in a positive light. Basically, right now, everything you see on the news media is every time there's an accident. There's so much that drivers do on a positive basis. We're involved with Trucking for a Cure. We're at the Convoy for Special Olympics. There's TruckersChristmas.org. There's toy drives. There's a lot of positive stuff that we do. We give back to our communities, but that's not recognized.
Shelley Juvenile-Hesch, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Shelley Juvenile-Hesch is a veteran trucker and the founder of the Women's Trucking Federation of Canada, and she was in Baden, Ontario. When it comes to attracting new workers, the trucking industry isn't the only one having trouble filling jobs. My next guest is a consultant who advises his clients on how to understand young workers. David Coletto is the CEO of Abacus Data, which specializes in researching millennials, and he's in Ottawa. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks. We have been talking about a looming shortage of truck drivers, but what other professions are facing problems attracting younger people?
We find a range of professions, particularly the trades. So those that, you know, if you think of electricians, plumbers, in the construction trades, right across the country. You can think, you know, before the price of oil dropped, you know, in Fort McMurray or in the oil patch, any job like that where you're required to sort of, you know, work outside, there's been job shortages across the country, and they're having particular difficulty attracting younger Canadians into those fields, not only, you know, once they're finished their post-secondary or high school, but just in terms of entering those programs at the post-secondary level. So there's widespread, I think, generational differences that are affecting the labor market in Canada.
So what is it that those jobs have in common? You said working outdoors, but that isn't true for all of them.
That's true. I think it's what your previous guest mentioned, that some of those professions and jobs have an image that doesn't align with what a lot of young Canadians feel as though is important for them. You know, I work in the perception business. Everything's about perception, and I think many young Canadians, not all, but many of them, were raised to think of some of these professions as not being as attractive or as valuable as some other ones. And so, you know, you have to make a decision when you're going through post-secondary about whether to, you know, go into a trade, because you have to go through apprenticeships and the like. And I think increasingly, even if you speak to deans and professors in these programs at colleges across the country, they're saying they're themselves having difficulty. So I think it's about the lifestyle and the job itself, about what does it mean to be an electrician, to be a plumber, to be a truck driver, that prevents people from seeing themselves in those jobs and therefore pursuing it as a career.
So what kinds of qualities or values are millennials looking for in their work?
Well, when we do our research, we find that four in particular really, really emerge. One is that and you see this everywhere, and if you talk to young people today, they'll tell you this: they're looking to make a contribution, right? They're looking to have an impact on the job that they're doing. And so that's the first one. The second is flexibility. And I think this is where, you know, in a sector, an industry like trucking has an opportunity, but is also a challenge, in that you can't, you know, want a flexible job while having to be in the rig driving around for, you know, 10 hours a day. So flexibility is important. And then lastly, are two that are related, is that they're looking for recognition from work, but they're also looking for an opportunity to move forward. And so, you know, you bring all of these together and you have, I think, a frame of mind of young people, the research that we do that suggests they have specific needs. And these are sometimes in conflict with those older generations who are often their managers and looking to recruit them into these positions.
Okay, I have some tape I want to play for you about the barriers to attracting people to the trucking industry. This is Philip Davies. He is the principal at Davies Transportation Consulting Incorporated.
Well, I think there's a broad recognition throughout the industry that compensation is a major factor in attracting new entrants into the industry. Truck driving has always been a relatively low-paying job, and higher pay always helps. The other, you know, major issue for many people is the working conditions and requirement to be away from home for extended periods of time. There may be, in certain segments of the industry, the possibility to rearrange route structures and arrange drop-offs or for drivers to switch, which will enable them to limit the distance they have to travel from home and allow them to be home more often.
Okay, so there's some suggestion of, mm-hmm. of some kind of changes and perhaps more money. Do you think either of those would make a difference?
Well, I don't think money's necessarily going to be the solution, or sometimes it's seen as the obvious solution, but I don't think that's the case. There's lots of research and anecdotal evidence that suggests millennials, young Canadians, are not just going to go to the highest paid position, that there has to be something more about it. And so I think the second point about making the experience more palatable, right, by limiting the length of some routes and allowing people to switch up, I think is thinking in the right direction. That the challenge is not that you only make, you know, $50,000 or $60,000 a year doing this job. The challenge is that it requires my attention and it requires me to be away from the things I really like doing, right? And if we think that most young people today were raised to believe that work is not life, that simply work is the means to do the things I like to do, then a job being a truck driver makes it much more difficult to do that because I'm away from the things that I want to do. And so I think the industry has to find a way to mitigate that. The other side of it, though, is, you know, how do you position this job and a career in trucking as fulfilling, I think, the desire for millennials to want to experience things, right? You get to drive across the country, across North America, and see amazing things. Is how do you build that into the job description and by, you know, creating some flexibility, looking at opportunities, and I think importantly, changing the image of the industry, I think you can start to see some progress, but it's certainly not going to be an easy task for the sector.
Is there anything else it could do, the industry, to attract more millennials?
Well, I think
that was a big sigh.
it's difficult because I've been thinking about it since you invited me on to speak, and it's just going to be, I think, a real difficult thing. You're going to have to spend extra time, getting people to imagine themselves in the job. One of the things that people often forget about young people, and I think it's going to be true of the next generation that's coming up as well, is the incredible influence that our parents have in the choices we make about what to do in the future, right? Sometimes the parents get in the way. They push us into a direction we don't actually want to do. And that's why we often stay in school longer. We sort of try to find our way. But I think, you know, we see that your previous guest mentioned she was in the trucking industry, and that's why she went into it, or her parents were in it. And so that, I think, is a valuable lesson, that unless we break barriers down and we stop, I think, imagining trucking as a job that's only for certain types of people, or it's a career that's maybe not the best choice for you, are we really going to see progress? And that means you have to go right back down to basics and start to change the perceptions of what it means to be a truck driver.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
Do you have any friends who are truckers who are interested in doing it?
I have none, and I can't imagine any of my friends wanting to do it. And it's part of the image, but it's also the lifestyle. Yeah. It's something that, I want to be able to be home with my friends, and I want to experience being with them. And that's hard to do behind the wheel of a truck.
Okay, David, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
David Coletto is the CEO of Abacus Data, which specializes in researching millennials, and he was in Ottawa. I'm Laura Lynch, sitting in for Anna Maria Tremonti.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.